This is, what is the date today?
April 5th.
April 5th.
April 5th.
1979. And Lisa Yogi and Janet Rasmussen are here with Mrs. Storwick in Tacoma down on M Street. What, 2318 is your?
Yeah, 2318 something.
Is your address? Mm-hmm. Right. Why don't you tell us your full name with your maiden name and all that?
Henny Peterson Walvich. That's my maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
And I came from Norway in 1909. Mm-hmm. I came to the state of North Dakota.
To begin with. Okay. Now we can go back to that in just a minute about your coming over, mm-hmm. etc. Let's just be sure we document. Where were you born in Norway?
I was born in Vik and Helgeland.
Vik and Helgeland?
Yeah, okay. That's in northern Norway.
Mm-hmm. And what was the date of your birth?
August 1st,
1894.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have an important birthday coming this year.
Yeah, I don't know how important it's going to be.
You're not going to have a big celebration for your 85th?
Oh, no, there's nobody to celebrate.
Oh. Now, what were your parents' names?
And my father's name was Peter Jacobson, P-E-D-E-R, Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Not Peter.
No, but Peter.
Yeah, Peter Jacobson. And my mother's name was Julia Edwardson.
Julia Edwardson?
Yeah, because she was Nordlending. My dad was Trønder from Trøndelag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes. I have 3 brothers and 4 sisters. I haven't got them all now, but I'm the oldest one.
You were the oldest?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you had plenty of opportunity to take care of the younger ones and be involved.
Oh, no, there was 2 of them born after I came to this country.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So, I was quite young when I came.
Yes.
It was just confirmed this summer.
That you came?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was confirmed early. We had confirmation early in the spring and I left home the 9th of April.
Well, you remember that date, the 9th of April?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, we can come back to your family. I'm interested to go on and follow up then about your coming over. You were confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And did you come on your own, or with whom did you
come? Oh, yes, I came on my own. You know, them days, you know, everybody had to come to the United States, to America, you know. When I was herding the cows as a little kid, you know, I was dreaming about America. And I was talking English to the cows. that was the fantasy.
Did you read about America? Did you?
Oh, yes.
What kinds of information did you have before you came? What?
The only information I had was that some of my father's friends, you know, the old who came to North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a hired girl.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So I was it.
So you came with a job. You came with
in
a specific
the,
job
in mind. Yes.
In mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did they help pay for your passage there?
No, no.
You had to take
yeah.
care of that.
Uh-huh. My father took care of that.
Your father did.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have some ambivalent feelings about sending you off? A young girl all alone? Did he?
No, because everybody, it was a in thing them days.
Right.
Everybody was going to the university.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There wasn't a place in our community where two or three had left for this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a neighbor, there was 7 of them that, 7 in the family that left, and they lived in Minneapolis.
In the long run, were you the only one in your family who came over?
Yes.
You were?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because I didn't want any of the rest of my family to come to North Dakota.
After you had been there? And
yeah.
Okay. All right. You remember that day, the 9th of April.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel on that day when you were ready?
Well, just like any foolish young girl would feel going to someplace, you know, anticipation, you know, and America, you know, was something big.
You were thinking about leaving your other country behind? You were just thinking mainly America?
No. You know, over there, when you were confirmed, you know, you had to go out and earn your living.
That's right.
That was, especially with the big families. It wasn't them days like it is now, that you go to school till you're 35 years old.
No. Right. That's right. What was your father a farmer? You mentioned herding in the...
No, my father was a fisherman.
A fisherman?
Yeah, he had Percy in the same boats, and so he was doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother have specific responsibilities then in caring for, did you have some livestock and chickens
and things?
Oh yeah, things
we had a little farm.
Yeah.
It was, they started that place, you know, so it wasn't much to begin with.
No.
Mm-hmm. I was 3 years old when we moved from Vik in Helgeland to Valvik, my home place, when before that had the house built. So I remember when I came to the place where I lived till I was 15.
What, can you describe that house for us, what that was like?
It was just an ordinary house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just
a house. Yeah. Or is it this? And changed a lot since then. Now it has that and everything in it. It didn't
mm-hmm.
have no
mm-hmm.
such. It was no such thing thought of.
No.
In the late 1800s.
No. 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 Of course not. Yeah.
But my trip coming over, that was really an experience.
Well, let's tell us about that. Now we're very interested in that.
Well, I left my home place for Trondheim the 9th of April. And I had ticket for the Canadian Pacific line. I ordered a boat, the Baltic, in Trondheim for Hull, England.
Mm-hmm.
We got there all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then by train to Liverpool, where I departed on the Lake Champlain was the name of the ship. And it went okay till we got to the banks of Newfoundland.
Oh, yeah.
And at night, they struck an iceberg and cracked the hull open of the ship. They sent dog flares, you know, for it split them, some part of the hull of the ship. The cabin that I and another young lady had started to fill with water, and we had to move out and up on deck. Anyway, some rescue ships came and took us into St. John's, Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, then we were, our destination was supposed to be Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
But those small ships that took us then from St. John's, Newfoundland, they took us to Sydney, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long drawn affair. It wasn't the best of voyage.
No.
But we made it. I had a trunk and I lost it. And I guess it had been wet and but I got reimbursed all the big sum of $25 for the loss of my clothes.
Oh, yes. But I'm sure you had many other things along too,
yes,
that were
I had
sentimental
the, yes,
value.
Yes, I had some pictures, and I had a few things of silver that had been given to me for confirmation gifts, and a few things that I lost, of course. You know, now it doesn't make much difference.
Well.
But I regret this the most, that I left all the clippings in North Dakota on the newspapers. There was quite an article in the Dakota Boston about shipwreck, and I got clippings from Norway about it. It was in the Norwegian papers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when I left North Dakota, anything that wasn't exactly necessary was disposed of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're young, you don't think of those things.
No.
And anything historic, you never think of it when you're real young. Of course, it's different now. It's times and people have changed.
You get a sense that this is very precious. Many of these memories of what has happened. So that's good. Now, if we were to go back and someday want to try to find the clippings, let's say some of these newspapers have been preserved in the Midwest. You mentioned Decorah Post.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That has. Luther College has a file of those papers.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us an idea of what month that would have been in 1909? You left in April.
It was the last part of April. I came to my place in North Dakota the 17th of May.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. To Eglin, North Dakota, where I was to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it took over a month from my last home to right up to the destination. It is not like now.
No.
when we leave on the plane and we are in Norway at our destination in less than 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed.
Quite a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you get from Sydney then to North Dakota?
I trained all along the East Coast, and I changed train in Duluth, Minnesota. To come up to North Dakota.
Was it hard to find out where you should be and which train you should take and all of that? Or?
No, there was Norwegian speaking conductors and things like that on the trains, and you know, it's a funny herd of sheep, you know, gets to where they're going to, you know, and they're the same with us.
You mentioned that you were sharing a cabin with a young woman on the boat. Now, you didn't know her before the journey started.
No, we were together all the way from Trondheim, and we were in the same cabin. She wound up in Valley City, North Dakota.
Did you have contact with her at all in later years?
Just the first summer. After that, we lost contact.
Do you remember her name?
Her name was Elena Johnson. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was she your age then?
Mm-hmm.
Was she your age then?
She was in her 20s.
Mm-hmm. Was she also going to do hired work at a bar? Now you said that you had pretended you knew English.
Oh, yes.
Did you in fact have a chance to learn any English before?
Not while I lived in North Dakota. Because that was strictly a Norwegian settlement.
What was the name of the place in North Dakota?
Eglin, North Dakota.
Eglin.
Uh-huh. And it was about 40 miles north of Devil's Lake.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little railroad at that time going up what they called the Farmer Line.
Mm-hmm. Or the Milk Line or the something.
Okay. And that railroad is not there anymore.
No. Tell us a little bit about your years in North Dakota working on that farm and what you had to do.
Oh, that if I should start telling that, it wouldn't be fit for that.
Well, was it a lot of hard work? Is that?
Yes, it was hard work. The morning after I got there to those people that I was working for, I was routed up at 4:30 in the morning. That was usual on the farm, you know, because they had a couple of hired men and they had to cook for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the name of the people was Odegaard that I was to work for. And of course, we had to get up and cook pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
What did I know about the American pancakes? Nothing. Of course, I knew something about the Norwegian egg pan de kake,
yeah.
But not the American pancakes, but I had to learn. And I hated every day I spent in North Dakota.
Oh.
I did. Of course, North Dakota has come a long way since. The sanitation in North Dakota was horrible them days.
Mm.
If an animal, an old horse was killed, they just hauled him out in the pasture and they laid there. They didn't bury anything.
Oh.
Oh no. The flies were so thick that in the evening the ceiling was black. They had no such as screen doors and screen windows. This is 70 years ago.
Oh yes, things of course have changed since then. What kind of farming were these people, the Odegaards, what kind of farming were they doing?
Wheat, barley, and oats and flax. That was the farming.
What were your specific chores? You had to cook.
Yes, oh yes, cooking and milk the cows.
Milk the cows.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, everything that was pertaining to the housework.
Mm-hmm.
And cook and bake, which it didn't take me long to learn.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned that these people were eating American food, or they were had that custom already of having those American pancakes for breakfast. But they were Norwegian.
Yes, they were Norwegian.
Did they expect you to learn to cook differently from the kinds of baking and cooking that you had done in your own home? Did you have to learn quite a bit?
Oh no, we used a lot of Norwegian cooking, like kjøttsuppe. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And different things like potetesklubb.
Potetesklubb.
Yeah.
That's kind of a sort of a mashed potato.
No, it's a potato dumpling kind of.
Yeah.
It's grated raw potatoes, and then you add a lot of stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it with either ham or pork or that you cook with it. Yes.
Now you were the daughter of a fisherman.
Yes.
And there you were in North Dakota, and I bet you didn't have any fish. Or did you have
no
fish?
Well, we had this Lake Superior trout or herring in the wintertime, you know. That's what we get. And then we got something that they call whitefish in the wintertime. In the summertime, there was nothing but salt meat or anything or smoked meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all hot there, you know.
Yes.
And we had no deep freezers or refrigerators or anything that days, you know.
Oh, no.
If you cooked something one day, it's hard by the next day if you didn't consume it in time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Now, when you were on that farm, were you pretty isolated? You mentioned that you were, 40 miles from a town.
Yes, from Devil's Lake.
From Devil's Lake.
Egeland had a post office and a grocery store and a bank and a blacksmith shop and implement company for farm machinery.
Mm-hmm. Did you have your own church in that community too?
Oh, we had churches galore. There was three Norwegian churches there. And that was something unusual for me. You know, they had one church, Haugus Synode.
Yes.
And then they had the Forenede Kirke. And then they had the Free Church. You know, I was used in to just one church in Norway. The first Sunday, one of the herdmen was going to church, so that was in the afternoon after dinner was over. So I wanted to go to church, so I did. Well, we went to that one they called for Forenede Kirke. We came back on the farm, and Mrs. Odegaard asked me what church I went to. I told her, "Oh no, you mustn't go to that church. They don't teach the true word of God. Oh no, you should go to Haugus Synode Kirke." Well, I had to ask her, "Don't they preach the word of God in all the churches here in this country?"
Yeah.
I was used to just state church in Norway, you know. That was kind of confusing for a newcomer girl.
It was.
And I didn't go to the right church.
Oh dear. So that there was really quite a rift between the different congregations. They
yes,
didn't want to associate with
right.
each other. And,
And I bet there was 25 people in each of the churches. Well, the farming community was wide, you know.
Sure. Well, did they have their own pastor for each church?
Oh,
there?
Yes, yes. But the pastors, you know, the pastor in the Forenede Kirke, he went up to Rolla. They had different Sundays, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pastors in North Dakota couldn't live on the salary they got in one church. Them days, you know, they would starve to death.
Right.
Or, so he had two, three different calls. He served one church in Perth on one Sunday. And then he served that church a little further east at Callio Sunday evening. So, and their salary wasn't very big.
No.
Some of the pastors nowadays should have known what the old pastors had to go through.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So they were very dedicated people.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
But then they got maybe a half a pig when one farmer butchered.
Yeah.
Or 100 pounds of potatoes from some other farmer, and eggs from somebody else, and milk and butter from somebody else. So they lived. They existed.
Oh, sure.
It's different now.
You didn't go to school at all
in
this country ever.
No. I wanted to go to school in England, you know. They had an evening class.
Oh.
Well, they laughed at me. Why did I want to go to school? There was no need for me to go to school to learn English.
Who was that? The family?
With yeah, that I worked for, because I could walk up to England. It was just a mile.
Oh.
And I wanted to go to school to learn English, to learn it right. But you know, when you are young, you don't like to be laughed at. So I didn't go.
It sounds like you had some difficult times in
well,
that situation a little.
So did everybody else that came them days.
Yeah.
It is not like now.
No.
Yes, and some of my experiences there, I tell you, they were great. You know, they had no bathroom. There was no privacy to take a bath.
No.
You had a wash tub, those round sink tubs, you know. And if you could sneak enough water, the water was hard, so you had to soften the water, you know. And when you soften the water with that stuff, it was full of, you had to skim off the scum that got on top. So there was a slough below the house there. You know what a slough is? It's a low part, you know, sometimes those leaves dry up in real dry,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
there is water in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down there wading.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what leeches are?
Yeah.
They call them horse leeches.
Yeah. Oh my.
And I didn't know anything about such a thing from Norway. I was wading there and I was sitting there and soaking my feet down in that slough there. I got out of there and there I had these black things on my legs that was stuck to it. I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
And I got up to the house, they were still. Well, I thought, well, if you get full of blood, you'll fall off. You know, in Norway, we had those, in the olden days, you know, people bought those leeches, you know, that blood leeches, you know, that would.
Uh-huh. For medical purposes,
yes,
they
medical.
That would help.
And when they were full of blood, you know, they fell off.
Yeah.
But these horse leeches, they didn't do that. They just kept on drinking. And expelling it as they went. And so they, this was on a Sunday, and they, Sunday afternoon. And they, I came up and said, I tried to get them off my legs, you know, I couldn't do it. Well, I took a knife and I scraped them off, skin and all.
Oh.
And all the people had such a good time about that. And I cried.
Oh, that would have been awful.
So they didn't have much mercy on a newcomer girl.
But you never went wading again.
No, I never went wading again. Nope, I never did. But in North Dakota, where I came to, it was flat land as far as you could see.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the saying that you could look further and see less there than anywhere in the world.
And that wasn't very appealing to you.
No, it wasn't. I was used to the country something like this here. Fjords and mountains and the trees, the forest.
Right.
I was used to that. So it was a lonesome ordeal, the 10 years I was.
You were there for 10 years.
10 years.
Oh my!
Uh-huh.
And on this one farm, that
I got married. After 3 years there, I got married.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, he was a man that was renting a farm. So I went in from out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Oh. Did he come from the same area in Norway? That you came from? You had
no, not exactly, no. He was from around Namsos.
Up around Namsos?
Mm-hmm.
And what was his name? His
Sjovik, S-O-V-I-C-K, Sjovik.
Sjovik.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And how long did you, so you were there 7 years then?
Mm-hmm.
On his farm?
Yeah.
And how did you decide what
well,
decision
he,
to come out?
Well, he sold out and we moved to Devil's Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I left him there and took my kids and came here.
And came here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have been here since
1919.
Since
1919
in the fall.
Okay. I had friends here that came from North Dakota out there and they advised me to come out here.
And that you've been felt very good about that decision.
Oh yes, I've been very happy ever since 1919 I came out here.
Right. How did you set yourself up in Tacoma? You had people you knew here, so
yes,
they helped you.
Yeah. I rented a house to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
South Tacoma.
South Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here only 3 weeks when I got a job at Drury's Tailor Shop. The time I spent in Devil's Lake, I got a job in a tailor shop and I picked up the trade pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. So you were skilled and you had that skill, so you could do that when you came up here. And how long did you work for that tailor shop, Drury's Tailor Shop?
Oh, I worked for Drury's for about 9 years. And I advanced from there to a Peterson and Davis tailor shop, where the pay was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for a number of years. During the Second World War, I worked at McCord Field.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I had charge of the PX tailor shop there, where, well, it was tailor shop, but it was nothing but cutting down Eisenhower jackets, making blouses, army blouses into Eisenhower jackets and such things,
mm-hmm.
and alterations.
But you then, you supervised a staff
yeah.
of
mm-hmm.
people
yeah.
at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, you really then came along quite a ways in terms of your
yeah.
own career. You had quite a career as a seamstress and a supervisor.
Yeah, I did all right in tailoring. I did okay.
Okay. Now how
so after I got out here, I got married to my now deceased husband. I got married to him in 1924.
1924. And his last name, of course, is
Storvik.
And what was his first name?
Ingvald.
Ingvald.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do?
He was a fisherman.
He was a fisherman.
Mm-hmm. Alaska fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
So? And he passed away, it was 3 years from now, 27.
With him being a fisherman, he was gone quite
oh,
a long
yes.
time during
oh,
the
yes.
year.
Oh yes, damnation, or when they went to Alaska, they went early because they first went up on sail ships, and, but you know, a fisherman's wife is used to those things.
Mm-hmm.
I had my job too, you know.
That's right. Now, how long have you lived in this house?
40 years.
40 years.
Mm-hmm. And when Ingvald and I got married, we bought a house on 72nd and Jacama Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was much bigger, so when the family was gone, we needed a smaller house, so that's how we.
And this is more centrally located,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. Now, just tell us about your children. Can you just go through their names? And
my oldest son, Arnie.
Uh-huh.
I lost him in the Second World War up in Yelushin. He was
mm-hmm.
they were shot down. He was in there. Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and they were shot down by the Yaks over Attu.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, I lost her in 1964 in January. She passed away from cancer.
Oh,
so I have one son now.
And what is his name?
Herman.
Herman. And he lives with you?
No, he has his own apartment, but he is here now. He is painting the fence for my next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an invalid, you might say. He lost his leg 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he has his own apartment. He has always been a bachelor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any grandchildren?
No. My daughter, son-in-law, never had any children. My oldest son wasn't married either. And this one never married.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have been involved a bit in some of the organizations here in town. I know you've been a member of Norrlands Laget.
Yes, I'm the president of Norrlands Laget. Okay. I was the first female president of Norrlands Laget in Tacoma.
Well, well you have to tell us about
which
that.
Which I had job I had for 3 years and enjoyed it very much.
Good.
And I have been president of the Daughters of Norway, Embla-Lodge Daughters of Norway. I have been treasurer for that lodge for 7 years. I filled just about every chair in the Daughters of in Embla-Lodge Daughters of Norway. I was a member of Our Savior's Lutheran Church for about 40 years. Was on the board of trustees and met a lady say that had the privilege to go to Minneapolis as a delegate to a convention for the Women's Federation.
Very good, yes.
So, and I'm a Rebecca. That's the
You're
order
Rebecca
of the
Lodge.
Odd Fellows.
Yes.
That's the order of Odd Fellows. I've been there for 30 years.
I say you've led a very active life and contributed a lot to these
organizations. Well, I don't know how much I've contributed, but I've been had my nose in there. At this time, at the present time, I'm going to Gloria Day Lutheran Church.
On 19th Street.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a Scandinavian congregation in many ways, don't they?
Yes, uh-huh. And there's so many of the members from Our Savior's Lutheran that are members there now. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is the pastor there now? That's Gullhagen.
Yeah.
That's the son
yes,
of
uh-huh.
Reverend Gullhagen
yes.
from Trinity now.
Mm-hmm. And the visiting pastor or assistant pastor is Gullman.
Uh-huh. What were the years you were president of the Northlight Club?
Oh, I can't think back now. That's year for and then I think years ago to Norway from Norway it's 5 years ago since I gave up the ship. Yeah.
Okay. And so you were elected then eight years ago it would have been.
Yeah, it would be 8 years ago.
Well, you've not only been the first female, you've been the only female.
No,
president.
Jean Langbad had it one year here, but before Gregersen come in.
I see.
Jean Langbad she had it just 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And was Conrad Langbad had it after I.
Mm-hmm. What would you say have been some of the important activities, for example, that Embla Lodge has done? The women there, the women have played an important part in these ethnic organizations, keeping the heavenly heritage alive.
Yes.
What kinds of contributions have they made, would you say?
Oh, the Daughters of Norway have made great contribution, I think, to they are contributing to all kinds of charities and they have scholarships going
on. Oh, yes.
The Grand Lodge, any member pass away, you know, the Lodge sends in a scholarship to the Grand Lodge. And this, at the last convention now, they awarded 3 scholarships. So they have been, the Daughters of Norway, I will say, have done a lot of nice things.
Mm-hmm.
And Norrlands Laget is a very good group.
They are.
Yes, they are. They are the friendliest bunch of people.
I agree. They've been important in keeping making people feel that their Norwegian heritage is important and that they have something to hold on to for that. I'm going to stop here and change the tape over. Very interesting. And the kinds of work that you had to do on that farm. You see, that's important as a kind of document that... and we read in the history all the time about the women that they came over only after their other family were here or they came with their husband. But a lot of women came on their own.
Oh, yes, I came on. And I didn't, when I was in North Dakota, I didn't want any of my family to come over there because I figured they couldn't better themselves in North Dakota from what they had at home.
No.
So I didn't. Lots of them sent for their family, and but I didn't. I didn't think it was worthwhile. But in 1947, when I made a trip to Norway, I brought my youngest sister along. She was working in Oslo at that time. And she lived here for 14 years.
What is her name?
Well, her name is Olsen. She came here and she was here a couple of years and she married. But then her husband passed away. So she went back to Norway for a trip after he passed away, and then she met one of our old school sons of hers, and he had just lost his wife. So she moved back to Norway and married him.
Mm-hmm. But you did have her with you here for...
Well, yeah, but she had her own home.
Yes, of course.
Right. Yeah, but she had said that that probably was a foolish thing to move back to Norway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Last, well, it'll be 2 years now since I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
I was there a year before last. And she said, well, she thought she would have been better off if she had stayed in this country.
Did you at any time ever think seriously about going back to Norway yourself when you had so many difficulties in West Dakota?
To live?
Yes.
No. No, I never had that idea. And when I lived in North Dakota, my father had heard through the grapevine or somebody that I didn't have it so good after I married.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote to me and said if I want to take my children with me and come home to Norway, he would send me the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I was then too proud to, I wrote back him that I'll come back to Norway when I have earned enough on my own to get back.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a chance to see my father again because he died in 1920.
Oh.
First time I got back to Norway was in 1937. First visit I had from 1909 to 1937.
What were your feelings then?
You know, I had children in the meantime, couldn't get away.
Right.
You know, and I had a job and things like that.
Mm.
And when my children were grown up enough, then I got away. And since that time, I made 8 trips back there.
And do you have quite a lot of family over there now, still living from your brothers and sisters and their families?
I got so many cousins and nieces and nephews and what have you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a lot of relatives.
What about your Norwegian language? How often do you use your language, except when you are in Norway visiting? You keep up your language by speaking it with your friends here, or
sometimes. And when we are talking about Norway, when we are Norwegian friends together, you know, by conditions over there and by the places and by things, you know, then it's the easier to switch over to the Norwegian language to express the...
Sure.
When you talk about the Holmerskjær and mountains and everything.
That's right.
You speak Norwegian, don't
you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I do.
You are born in Norway?
No, my husband is.
Oh,
and
is
we talk Norwegian with each other.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
So it's a little easier, but...
Mm-hmm. And then through your organizations, like the Daughters and of Norway and... you have a chance to sing Norwegian songs and
yes,
keep up that way.
Uh-huh.
How about celebrating in terms of Christmas and traditional foods? Do you try to keep a Norwegian Christmas?
Oh, you betcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's... it's just Pastor Svare said, you know, he used to be an inter-minister at Our Savior's Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Norway for a couple of years, I guess, teaching. And he come back and he says, if you want to see the Norwegian traditions keep up, you better come to the west coast of the United States. Because, you know, in Norway, they even buy Surkorn bags now.
They don't make it themselves.
No.
That's right.
And the puddings and everything, they buy that in cellophane bags.
Mm-hmm.
We do more Scandinavian Norwegian cooking out here than they do in Norway today.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I didn't even taste a piece of homemade flatbread.
Oh.
No.
What do you have for your Christmas Eve dinner when you make it yourself? What do you serve?
Ribbe.
Ribbe, yeah.
Or risengrynsgrøt.
Yes.
That's traditional.
That's traditional.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's
what you have.
Oh, yes. That is a must.
And what other kinds of cookies and things do you bake? Do you do a lot of cookie baking at Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yes, all the usual. Jurtepakk, fattigmann, berlinerkranser,
sandbakkels,
and all kinds of Norwegian cookies, and lefse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And gomme. Do you know what gomme is?
That's
a cheese, that's a sweet cheese, cooked up sweet milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And sylteflesk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And fårerull.
Oh. And you make all of those things.
Oh,
those,
yes.
That's quite a project to make all of those different meat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hardest thing is to get the meat.
Yes.
Get the nice meat, too.
Make it,
you know, the lamb flanks and everything to make it out of the lamb roll, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's so, oh yes, it isn't Christmas without those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to see here. You've told us about going back to Norway some. You've gone back 8 times.
8 times, yeah.
And what have you noticed most has changed over the years? Has it just been mostly that some of these things you mentioned about the traditions, that they haven't kept up as much? Or?
They got very modern in Norway,
mm-hmm.
in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it keeps up. I hope it lasts.
Mm-hmm. They don't overextend themselves or something. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. Uh-huh. I guess they figured. Sometime I felt they acted like there was no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I have enjoyed the trips I made over there. I have traveled all over Norway, and I will say that the northern Norway is the most beautiful part of Norway, except Gudbrandsdalen in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have been along on what they call Verdurita or the Fast Express.
All along the coast?
All along up to Chicanas.
Mm-hmm.
And the coast is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
When you get north of Bode, Norway,
mm-hmm.
it's what they call Lofotvägen.
Mm-hmm.
Lofoten Islands into there and into Rapsund.
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
Oh, you have been along there. Have you been into Trollfjord?
We haven't been into it, no.
Oh.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, that Trollfjord, you know, there was a bunch of Frenchmen on one of the trips on Hurtigruta when they went there. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, the sun was up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Trollfjord is just like the mountain has parted, just like that. And you know, they heard it, well, I can't blow the whistle in Trollfjord because of the slice,
avalanche
stone or
mm-hmm.
rock slice into the. And Trollfjord, when you look in there, it's like that. And there is a house right in there. I asked the steerman there, or the first mate, that's what they. I said, my goodness, there's somebody living up in there. Yeah, he says there's a family that has 3 children that live there.
Oh.
And the kids, when they go to school, the parents don't see them from the time they go to school. They go to school across the mountain on the other side. Don't see them all winter till spring.
Oh my.
Just think of living in a place like that.
There's a lot of that in Norway, people living in very
yeah.
out of the way places.
Mm-hmm.
We very much appreciate your talking to us. We may want some time to come back and talk about some other things, specifically sorts of things about the different organizations you've been
mm-hmm.
involved in and so on. Is there something else you want to tell us right now that comes
mm-hmm.
to your mind? You've been over
mm-hmm.
quite a few different. You want? Mm-hmm. Could you say something in your dialect? You talk Nordlandsdialekt?
I don't know what I really speak.
Do you remember a little poem or a song or something you could share with us? Or a prayer, maybe?
Well, I don't know which really would be very interesting.
Which table prayer do you?
Oh yes, and I'm going to push. That's
yeah.
our table prayer.
That's
you know.
Your table prayer.
That's, and we use that in Nordlandslaget too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you sing that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is very, very nice.
Uh-huh.
We're going to the table.
So, yeah. And my favorite little song for any of the organization is the one I have here. My favorite is the one that Nordlandslaget got. La oss leve for hverandre og ta vare på den tid vi har. That's my favorite song.
That's a beautiful song.
Yes, it is.
Yes. That's right. That's a fairly modern song, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So let us live for each other.
Yeah.
Right. So it is a beautiful thought, too. It sort of symbolizes that. Bringing together and that people
mm-hmm.
share in their
mm-hmm.
in their heritage together.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Storvik, thank you very,
yes,
very much.
Well, it has been nice talking with you and
good.
Sharing with us. And where do you originate from?
Oh, my mother's side is from Sweden.
Oh, your mother's side is from Sweden?
Yes.
I had the nicest son-in-law and he was a Swede.
Ah.
Yeah, he was. He passed away too.
Oh.
So your forefathers are from Sweden, eh?
Yes. I went over there last summer. there? And visited where my ancestors came from.
Where did you go?
I was an exchange student in Denmark.
Where?
Denmark, Næstved, Denmark.
Over in Denmark.
And then I went to Sweden, to Kattarp, to the village where my ancestors.
What part of Sweden did you say?
Southern Sweden.
Oh, Southern Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I have a relation, I have cousins living in Sweden.
Oh.
I have a cousin living in Umeå in Sweden.
Mm.
And I've been all over Sweden, up in Norrland, up in Norrbotten,
oh,
and I've been
wanted
to
visit there.
I've been to Lindronia and Luleå.
But you've traveled a great deal.
Yes, I have traveled in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. I've been just a short trip into Germany and Holland on a tour.
Oh, yes.
But I've traveled quite a bit on my road trip, mm-hmm. and a lot in Sweden.
You travel by train? Is that how you would usually go?
Well, of late years, I fly wherever I can.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoy flying?
Oh, yes. It's the only way to fly.
It's the only way to fly.
I tell you, in my last trip, I went on a plane from a little seaplane, what you call a monoplane, from Namsos to Rövik, because you know, when you have only 4 weeks, you have to use your
time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I tell you, I've never seen anything that has been put together with so much baling wire as that plane.
But you made it.
Oh boy, it was sure put together with Hamar. But I made it to Rövik. It was, you know, you depend on the buses, you know,
that's right.
But I go with Merle's luggage, you know, and
on
the
charter.
Mm-hmm. And I took the plane from Bode to Brønnøysund. I have relation all over Helgeland, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went from Brønnøysund to Rørvik,
mm-hmm.
where my parents used to live, and I have some of my sisters and brothers. And then I went by bus to Namsos, and I took a little plane from there to Trondheim. And of course I have a niece in Trondheim that took me everywhere. We were
mm-hmm.
all over.
Mm-hmm.
We was down to Sjørna and way back and go. And then I flew from Trondheim to Tromsø.
You do get around, why?
Oh yes, then I flew from Tromsø to Narvik. I didn't go further north this last trip.
Than Tromsø?
Mm-hmm.
No, in Narvik.
Mm-hmm.
Then I flew again from Narvik to Bode, and then from Bode to Trondheim. And then from Trondheim I took the bus then to Narvik. And then I took the bus to Vik in Helgeland, and then bus to Brønnøysund, and then plane from Brønnøysund to Bode.
Mm. What a complicated itinerary. You did all of that in 4 weeks.
Yes. Well, my
See?
Goodness, you had to fly wherever you could in that short of time.
Mm. To get to visit everyone.
Yeah, and still I didn't get to see everybody, but it was vacation time, so you know, in Norway, in vacation time, they are on the move.
Yes, you can't get them. Well, we'll come.
I got to see most of them, though, because some of them, they came home to their parents and to their...
Right.
I even had the privilege to visit with my cousin's daughter, that her and her husband, she is a nurse in Bangladesh, and her husband is Danish. They got married 3 years ago. He's a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they were visiting. They had a vacation.
Well, that was very fortunate. You happened to be there just at the
right
time.
Uh-huh, at my cousin's time in Vik.
Mrs. Storvik, we have to leave for now just because we have to get back, and we have a class hook up with.
Uh-huh.
Well, we would like to hear more about some of these things, and maybe now you've got the memories are coming back, and you're thinking about these things, so there will be another time.
Well, okay, come back anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very, very much.